You dumb fucking sons of bitches. Get in this line now before I lose my temper.
Excuse me, Sergeant, but...
Excuse me? Fuck you. You say another word and I'll break your fucking head and have you in the brig.
Some of us are here for...
I know why you're here, asswipe. I'm having a bad day, Private. Some people don't seem to want to get on this bus.
I didn't ask for your help.
He didn't ask for your help. Can you believe this guy? Who are you two? Abbott and Costello?
We're here for OCS, Sergeant.
So it's the three fucking stooges and you're here for OCS. God help this fucking country and the USMC. The Japanese will do the world a favor and kill you quickly. All three of you are on report. What are your fucking names?
Phelps.
Kelso.
Merrill.
Any other gentlemen for OCS? OCS is at Elliott. You take the Camp Elliott bus over there. This bus is for MCRD. This bus is for men who want to fight.
Doc Radar, so small a baby could swallow it.
And Paul Ryan's ghost bringing us into Talk Radar 153. Yeah. Hi, everybody. This is Brett Elston.
This is Michael Raparez.
This is Carolyn Goodmanson.
This is Henry Gilbert.
Oh, my God.
This is Charlie Barrett.
Incorrect.
No.
Which one of you is Charlie?
He is. I'm the real Charlie. Shoot him.
Charlie.
Come
on, that was fun.
Charlie.
My deafening silence means I'm the real Charlie.
No!
All right. Fucking Chris is dead. He's at Kaiser getting his butt replaced.
Oh, is that for real?
Yeah, he...
Did his butt fall out again?
Yeah, he checked in. He did send me this to confirm he's okay. So he's still alive. That's him.
I feel like we should spend at least 5 minutes talking about Chris's ass.
Well, yeah. We did run through Beta Breakers on Sunday, and I didn't see his ass, but I saw plenty of other men's asses.
As well as their fronts.
As many as... The things in front of them that are so many dicks.
Were there any naked women?
There were a few naked women.
There were two. I saw two that were attractive, and about 10 to 20 that were you did not want to see naked.
What was great is what began as like a street party that moves in this drove, like everyone drunk in the streets for miles. But then as you enter Golden Gate Park, it just got to a point of like everyone too drunk to go on, and just people laying in the street and in the sidewalk. And then
this is the very very end, the dregs of the race.
I mean, the actual race is already over.
I was in the last group of the race, and even that last group was still a mixture of crazies and people just like want to do a little jog. And then once I went back to where you guys were, I was like, oh my God, this is like the bottom of your sink basin, just like toothpaste and blood.
It's the kind of stuff that like if you're an aspiring filmmaker and you want to film like a plague has killed everyone, like just take some B-roll of Guildgate Park during Beta Breakers, and just the amount of people rolling in their deathbeds is hilarious, and people in costumes like completely in compromised positions. And like the cops are like, they're okay with the nudity because I didn't see one naked person get busted. Mm-hmm. But then they took Chris's Jack Daniels out of his hand, and then they told me to pour out my beer, which I didn't. I put it in my pocket, and then he just walked away like, that's fine. But yeah, they were on constant patrol for no booze, but there's a naked dick flopping in the wind.
I'm okay with that.
That's totally different than how it used to be. Like when I ran it like a million gajillion years ago when I was very young, they were like hosing people down with like fire hoses.
When they were naked.
Yeah. Well, no, they were really going after naked people when I was there.
Did you have a brown paper bag?
No.
Well, that's the key.
I know. It's
that's
true.
Like the force field against cops.
No, you should have. Yeah, Chris was flaunting his Jack Daniels.
No, everyone was flaunting their booze.
I saw people clearly drinking. But like I saw four Lieutenant Dangles on the bus, and they had carefully set up little bags on their crotches under their shirts, and they would lift them up, and then the other Lieutenant Dangle would get on his knees and then sip it out of the other guy's crotch.
Oh my God.
So they knew. They were seasoned veterans.
There were definitely people who were being discreet, but I saw way more just like, fuck it, this beer is cheap. If they take it, I got 30 more. What are you going to do, follow me?
Also, about 5 minutes before that cop came and took away the alcohol, Chris had like flicked off a cop car driving away, and they have radios.
Chris, so did his butt really fall out?
I don't know what's wrong.
I'm pretty sure he did.
I think he did that. Who cares? He's dead. He'll be back Wednesday, probably.
I'm concerned about our butt baby that we have together. what if it's in danger?
But bring us into this first new second podcast. I was asked to clean up his mess. So number 7, the top 7, which we do every week. And we'll get into some news. I got a lot of game deals, especially a lot of L.A. Noire game deals. So if you're looking to buy L.A. Noire, there are a lot of good options. We'll get into some news. PSN is back up. And begins with the top seven, as we always do. In this case, it's the top seven from the UK this week, a conglomerate. Top seven things in games that will never be realistic. And I usually, Chris usually has the number seven, number six. I don't have any of those because he left and didn't give me anything.
Can we do one live?
You can.
In harmony?
In harmony. Yeah. And then I have an accompanying, I found seven additional sound effects that have nothing to do with anything. But I will use those instead. So if everyone all at the same time, if you'd like to do this.
He's going
to
count us down.
We should count,
yes, I want to do with my fingers here. And when the third finger goes down, that's when we all go number seven.
Okay.
One, two, Wait, I fucked up. That was my bad. I was 3, 2, 1, and then when this finger comes down, that's when we'll do it.
Don't edit
any of this out. Leave all that in.
Okay. I don't need to count because we can see your fingers.
Okay. But I want, you know, there needs to be an audio accompaniment so that people just don't hear dead silence. 3, 2, 1. How'd I fuck that up? 3, 2, 1.
Number 7!
That's terrible.
Oh, God.
We've got 6 more numbers.
Cacophony of roaches.
Number 7.
Number 7.
Yeah, in a higher pitched voice. 1, 2, 3.
Number 7!
Sure, one of those is good.
Sure.
Number 7, things in games that will never be realistic.
I just want to say I love this picture of John Noble from L.A. Noire next to the scary plastic surgery disaster.
What is that
thing? The cat lady.
Jocelyn?
That's the crazy, very famous.
Yeah, she's kind of insane.
Good God.
She makes Joan Rivers look normal.
You leave Joan Rivers alone.
That's a joke Joan Rivers would say.
Good job, Henry. Number 7.
Number 7 is adequate training.
Adequate training. And the idea is every character is just given a brand new piece of technology or weapon and just instantly know how to use it. There's no training involved. And they do give good examples both ways because it's like Diddy Kong is a monkey. And I know you're willing to accept a certain level.
Technically.
He's an ape.
He's got a tail.
He's a monkey.
He's a
monkey.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong's an ape.
Yeah, why are those two hanging out with each other?
Yeah.
I thought they were supposed to be family.
They're pals.
Yeah.
Well, somehow they're brothers or something.
No, ape and monkey can never be friends.
They're technically only brothers in spirit because Dixie Kong.
I always kind of assumed that he was his nephew or something.
Michael, can you tell me something correct about monkeys?
They have tails. Thank you.
I bothered to find it. Number 7.
So number seven is about Diddy Kong.
The idea about training is that Diddy Kong in Donkey Kong Country Returns gets a jetpack, and he's just like, "Here you go," and he's like, "I got it." And then the idea is, you know, was there ever any actual training of him using this? He just knows how to use it because it's a game, and who cares? But then he flips it, and it's like, conversely, Gordon Freeman is a scientist, so he might know how to use a jetpack or a gravity gun or something like that right off the top. But then you get a a crossbow right away, and he's already a crack shot and can launch these, you know. If you're trying to do a character-driven thing, as a person playing a game, it's not the character making the shots, it's you. So it's about if you're good enough to make the shot. But anytime they're valuing a character, it doesn't make sense to never have the character be trained in that, which is why I always found it kind of, in like Final Fantasy games, they're all kids, yet they're all expert swordsmen from day one.
Yeah.
Even at level one, they can still kill a giant fucking robot with missiles on it.
They're good enough with a sword to just slash somebody.
Well, like Tidus, he's a blitzball player, and then he goes to Spira, and now he has a sword, and now he can fight. Like, what? No, he can't.
And how many games feature, like, here's a magic ball, use it to kill everybody, and you just somehow know how to tap its magical powers or whatever.
And even a game like Modern Warfare.
I'm thinking of Assassin's Creed.
Some games, like games where you're first-person shooters where you play a soldier of some sort, they haven't been trained in all those weapons that they get by the end of the game.
Right.
So what kind of monkey is Diddy Kong?
That's the important question.
And why did he build a jetpack out of wood?
And he looks like a chimp, but with a tail.
I know, that's what got me.
He doesn't build it, he finds it in a barrel. It's just around.
Oh, as you do. Well, then who built it? It had to come into being at some point, Henry.
Stephen Hawking built it.
Oh, okay.
Maybe some scientists just tried to develop a jetpack that would be so intuitive that...
Stephen Hawking rolling through the jungle. It's like, I think I'll leave my jetpack in this barrel.
Well, hey, maybe they were even testing it on monkeys, which is why it fits him perfectly.
Well, maybe he's a monkey from a lab. Maybe he's a hybrid of different monkeys.
Yes.
Maybe he's from the future, sent back.
Maybe he's like, what's the kid from Dragon Ball? But like the chimp version.
Yeah. Trunks, where he comes back?
No.
Gohan.
He's like the son of Donkey Kong and a monkey.
Yeah, he's
and
like...
And the Saiyans are monkeys.
He's like chimp version of Gohan.
So I think we've confirmed that Gohan and Diddy are the same person.
Yeah.
Well, they're probably from the same genetic trunks.
Well, the Saiyans have lineage. Monkey tails that they wrap around their waists.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That he's like a chimp who happens to have a Saiyan tail.
So which came first then? Donkey Kong Country or Dragon Ball?
Dragon Ball.
So
Donkey
Nintendo.
Kong answers who cares?
There's a lawsuit here.
No, number 6. Number six. Fuck our stupid thing. Number six.
Oh, come on. We should count down again. Come on.
Well, one person should sing and the other people do the echo.
3, 2, 1.
Number six. All right. Number six. Top seven things. Whatever. Number six is space. And this is true. The space gets played up a lot for dramatic effect, but it's like, you know, they go into good detail here, but it's like, one, explosions in space, not really. Sound in space, not really. Even the clutteredness of space, which makes for very cool visuals, like in Dead Space when you walk out and you see two suns for whatever fucking reason,
right?
Or asteroids flying next to each other. It's like, that stuff doesn't really get that close. And even stars, or the space is so fucking stark that if you just stood and stare out, it's black and it's featureless. And you would have to be like either so far or so close to various things to even get a good perspective of them, or have various fucking filters on your eyes to see different spectrums of light to really see it in a dramatic way. And it's not that it's impossible to have those things happen visually, but it's like, that's not, no. Any amount of radiation involved when those things are that close, it's just not...
I mean, when you're looking out your window in Mass Effect and seeing stars, that's not wrong.
That's silly.
I can see stars right now from Earth. That many stars.
I know, but like, it's still just, it's just black. Like, you'll see stars, but like, they're like streaming and doing cool things, or like,
not a Mass Effect.
Like, there's a big purple nebula.
Yeah, and it's
covering,
like,
everything,
well, that's
purple.
That's in the map, not through my window when I'm talking to Samara.
I think Dead Space at least gets the sound of space right, and it feels.
Mostly correct, because it's at least going. It's the vibration more than the sound, which you would feel vibrations of things exploding or shooting bullets or things crashing against each other. But I still think even Dead Space tends to muffle it. And it's like, no, it's just like muffled noise.
It's more like being underwater.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
then truly. But I mean, for the sake of a game, I'll, you know.
But yeah. I like that you hear his screaming very well.
Yeah,
like,
no, that's good. Because you would hear you, but you wouldn't hear him.
Never mind.
Okay.
Nope. That's about
but like all the asteroids and stuff, like, they're not all super close together so that you can have this cool visual. Like, the asteroid belt is so fucking big and spread across such a vast distance.
The aliens have mined it so thoroughly already that there's probably, you know, not much left out there.
But it's, you know, it's one of those very fun frontiers that you don't want to totally make real, because you're just going to suck all the fun out of it.
I prefer if space was like Mario Galaxy. I like that space more.
What, pointless and...
Full of interesting planetary.
In lieu of actual level design?
Shut up.
Wait, I have that.
Shut up.
There you go. Number
That's exactly how he sounded.
Number five in the top seven. Henry, you're leading the charge on this because I don't want to do it.
Number five.
All right. Number five is injuries. I didn't read this entry. Somebody help.
Assuming that just means that you... Yeah, like I got to see it by the fact that there's a video for Mortal Kombat there. Like, yeah, they should not survive those.
It's basically saying you characters in video games routinely sustain injuries that should immediately kill them.
Yeah.
And
well, especially just, Mortal Kombat's X-ray moves where they are stabbed in the eyeballs.
Yeah, or stabbed through the legs and their legs break. Like, that's the whole point, is looking at their legs break and then they keep kicking.
And pretty much every game you're getting shot up and it's like, oh, but you, as long as you go take cover, your health will come back. It's okay.
Yeah. It's a little distracting too in games like Mass Effect, where there's certain characters who are meant to die or to be critically wounded, when in the actual combat you can slap metagel on whoever goes down.
Yeah, that shit always irritates me.
Like, for example, like in Garrus's mission, like, or, you know, when you the Archangel mission, like, it's like, oh, Garrus is mortally wounded. It's like, if we were in combat, I could just put a metagel on him.
Yeah,
and
it's
be
just
fine.
Like, it's really a case of having your cake and eating it too.
Well, even in old JRPGs, it would bother me when, like, a character for story purposes had to die and stay dead. And I'm like,
but I've got 15 Phoenix down.
Yeah, I have all these Phoenix down.
And it's like, you know how many times this bitch has died already? Yeah. And now she's died?
Now she's super dead.
I guess the Mass Effect they could get around it if they had him instead of falling down and just being a dead corpse, like, just go like, oh, I'm injured, kind of like in Gears, and maybe just kind of crouch, and he can't fight until you go metagel him. Instead, they're just lying there, prone, completely not breathing. Yeah.
Well, even in a game that tried to deal with it,
force
like
feed him a turkey dinner,
like Metal Gear Solid 3, that tried to deal with like putting splints on your broken arms and stuff, I was like, no, you still can punch people with that arm even if you had a splint on it.
Well, may I say, in Tao Feng, you could not punch once your arm was critically damaged.
Oh, I see.
Batman has cool cuts on his suit.
Jolly! Yeah,
that's a good.
I thought that was a good point. Yeah.
Those are some pretty debilitating cuts. Huh?
At least they show some kind of damage over time.
Yeah, they
totally
can't
wear that part of a suit.
His skin might get cold now. Yeah. It's going to get goosebumps.
It made me, you know, I liked that consistent damage, but by the end of the game, I was like, I want to see, I don't know, in the last couple hours, I was like, I want a real Batman suit. I'm tired of looking at his haggard Batman suit.
No, by the end of Arkham City, I wanted him to look like Spider-Man at the end of the first Spider-Man movie, where just like half his mask is torn off and also, missing an arm.
Also be wearing the Spider-Man outfit underneath
the Batman suit.
And be making out with Kirsten Dunst in a giant, stupid-looking web.
He's wearing Spider-Man underwear underneath his Batman suit.
We made that web to be romantic. Like, he doesn't normally, like, make a web. He was doing it to be theatrical.
That looks as dumb as what I imagine Turn Off the Dark Broadway play looks like.
I've heard that they've improved it.
They just redid it.
Yeah, it's got a new director. Yeah.
Well, all you have to do improve it is not kill the actors.
Here was a crazy thing I read that in the plot of it
originally. Wait, Henry? That's all.
Well, I want to say real quick, Bray, you might be interested in this. When they first did the play version of it, like, Uncle Ben got ran over by a car, for no reason, like, just run over.
I sung that song at Christmas.
And then
you only had to help to stall that car for a second.
Yeah. And then Spider-Man doesn't even say the line, like, with great power, blah, 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 blah.
God, great power comes great rice. Uncle Ben's rice.
Great.
If only I had helped that old man across the street. God, what the fuck just completely ruined the point of Spider-Man, you fucking idiots.
Number two.
Number four. Henry, let's go. One, two, three.
Number four.
Number four, top seven, whatever it is. Sleep.
Sleep.
Sleeping. Yeah.
Sleep heals everything.
Yeah.
And then you're fine.
You drag a bunch of dead party members to an inn, tuck them into bed, and
except those bullshit games
in the morning.
Except those bullshit games where your character is dead, and if you take them to an inn, they stay dead. But if you heal them, an inn won't revive them, but an inn will completely
heal them.
Completely heal them. That bothers the shit out of me. It's like, then why did I fucking come here?
I should have gone to the priest first.
So I have to resurrect you myself and magically, then the magic bed will heal you, but it can't bring the dead back to life.
Well, I don't like it in Dragon Quest when you revive someone with the priest and then it's like half their health, so you have to go to an inn anyway.
Well, yeah, Dragon Quest is totally like, you have to go like three fucking places to make anything happen.
And that's because they refuse to change.
You fill out the revival form and take it to the mayor's office and have him sign off and then go to the priest and have him...
God. It's good enough for 1987, it's good enough for now.
How about everyone survives at the end of the battle like Final Fantasy 13?
Yeah.
That's called changing with the fucking times.
Yeah, that's kind of the RPG equivalent of duck behind something to
hear. And it's like, I don't dislike having to manage HP and MP and all that stuff, but I also don't mind when a game comes along and makes it a little easier for me. And if I want to play it, there's 100
in some ways didn't necessarily make it easier.
It didn't make the game easy. It just made it meant they made a lot of the regular battles harder.
Exactly. That's what I liked about it.
So there's 100,000 JRPGs you could play if you want to do that. And I guarantee no one has played them all. If you really want to do that, number crunching, count up how many potions you have, and there's plenty of options left. Like, you have not exhausted them.
So is that the only unrealistic thing about sleep that they have?
Because
I'd also point out that every time GTA characters go to sleep, they just go sit on the bed in their full outfit, and just lie down, and then they just wake up in the same outfit. They never change.
What do you want? To change it to pajamas and a nightcap?
Yes, I would.
Yeah.
That would be pretty neat.
Yeah. Nightgown, and then you can unlock the nightgown for running around in the street.
I want a little floppy, pointy cap on Nico's head.
Like, maybe have him carrying a little candle.
I like in Elder Scrolls when you sleep, like, then you have, if you level up and you sleep, you have a dream, and then you have some realization that you leveled up, and that's how you pick the stuff. Like, you don't get to reassign stats until you sleep. Though it's also weird in those Bethesda games where it's like, well, I have to kill some time. I guess I'll just sleep. Like, it's not how real life works. You can't
I remember doing that in Red Dead. No, in Red Dead it was the other way, where I'm like, I should go to sleep and save and heal and all that. Well, not heal, but take care of this stuff. But then I'm like, the fucking clock's then going to jump ahead like 6 hours, and I don't want it to.
Yeah. Yes. Has there ever been a game where they used, like, getting tired as a mechanic? besides Sims.
Actually, it's interesting that reading the second half of this, he talks about sleep as a gameplay mechanic.
Oh, really?
That, like, how characters fall asleep and now you play in their dreams. And
That's in Catherine.
Yeah, and Catherine. He brings up Max Payne with the nightmare hallucinations.
I hate that nightmare state so much.
Everybody hates it, Henry.
The upcoming Inception game.
I'm sorry. I'm not special. I liked,
I'm glad it took this long for you to realize.
I remember in Shenmue that you had an 8 o'clock curfew, and that was basically the same as sleep.
Yeah,
good
pretty much.
God, are you living in your parents' house?
Yes.
You're with your old grandma or housekeeper. I forget what.
That's some escapist entertainment right there.
Yeah. God, it was such a great game.
You had your grandma going to bed by 8.
Eight o'clock curfew. It was such a great game, maybe.
8 o'clock curfew, having to search through the phone book for a telephone number.
Maybe one of the 100 best games
waiting around for people.
Just like if you're born after 98 or 95 or grew up in the 2000s and that was your primarily like junior year in high school years, it's like just play Shenmue and that's how boring it was to live in the 80s, like before games and before you had all this home entertainment. It was like grandma, you want to make some preserves? What are we going to do today?
You know what the best game about sleep is? Little Nemo in Slumberland.
Little Nemo the Dream Master.
Sorry.
Little Nemo the Dream
Little Nemo something.
I don't have a correction sound effect, so I can do that.
Yeah, Nemo in Slumberland was a comic it was based on.
There, now you can do his.
Oh, yes.
Yes! It feeds me!
Number three, Henry.
Such power.
I have a correction for Michael. Okay. Nobody cares.
Uh-oh.
You're right. Nobody does.
He's got you. Let me see if I can...
No! Wait. Charlie!
That doesn't fit.
Damn it.
Charlie! No!
Damn it.
Some slow applause would have been appropriate.
Oh, applause, applause. Yes, I have that right here.
Shut up!
Number three...
Wait, what is this entire... Whoa, hey, everybody.
Jesus, I think Henry should have to sing the entire podcast. Everything he wants to say has to be done in song.
Yeah.
Sing talking.
Consequences. Things that will never be realistic.
Full life consequences? Yeah.
Just things like, you know, when you kill animals and it's like, minus one for killing the...
You know, there's no reset button in real life.
Oh, no.
I learned that from the drunk driving commercial.
I hated it, like, in Assassin's Creed where they tried to say, like, if you shove, in the first one, if you shove somebody or killed an innocent, it'd be like, Altair was not remembered for doing that. You're unsinking.
Oh, bad. Yeah. That's
do it again and we'll take off some of your life.
We'll slap your wrist. it's because I think in game design, like, if you have definite permanent consequences, people don't like that because they want to see every possible ending. And if you shut one off to somebody, like, that's bad design.
Well, it's that or it's a binary choice, like Mass Effect, where it's like you're good or evil. And it's like if you play it middle, if you play it straight and be in the middle like most people are, mm-hmm. No one's that far good or that far bad. You are basically penalized because you're locked out of several choices or, like, you can't solve dilemmas like Rex.
Or when
your loyalty mission, like when Tally and Legion or Miranda and Jack argue, it's like, well, I wasn't a total bitch or a total angel, so
now you lose.
I have no ability to resolve this without picking a side and being like, the other one, you're being a baby. And the other one, you're totally correct.
And then you get punished because one of them will die in the suicide
mission. Yes, one of them will die because of that. That's how life works. That's a consequence. Game design.
Mass Effect's consequences are such, like, they make it seem like, wow, that's really going to change the universe. And they always find a way to do it. Like, that had no impact whatsoever. Yeah. There'll be, like, one radio message a year.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm really interested in 3, because, like, the decision you make at the end of 2, which it's been a fucking year and a half now, so if you haven't beat Mass Effect 2, deal with it. Spoiler, cut ahead
they
one.
They got a lot of decisions they better pay off on. Arachni.
Yeah, cut ahead one minute. But yeah, like, pay off on the Arachni other than, like, that happened.
Well, they gave you a little tidbit to make sure you knew that they didn't. That was just, to make sure that you knew they didn't forget that there's going to be something.
But then the decision at the end to keep or destroy, again, spoiler.
Yeah.
Pause. Spoiler. Yeah. The whole... The Human Reaper, and do you keep it or destroy it? And it was not clear to me for some reason which one was correct, and I fucking kept it.
Upper right,
my Paragon. I wasn't even thinking about that. And in my Renegade playthrough, I had to do the other choice and destroy
it.
So my two Paragon and Renegade choices are completely flipped, and it's like, how can you write a canon story that, like, if I chose... I have to assume, based on what we know about 3, which is that, and this has already been reported, that Cerberus is after you.
then that implies that the canon one is you denied it.
I don't think it matters what the canon one is, because, I mean, both Mass Effect 1 and 2 ended on, to me, I thought, things that were the correct, the Paragon choice seemed like the Renegade choice and vice versa.
Right.
Like the Counselor Dina versus Anderson, like either of those are, you know... I think they're going to have to write it in such a way.
I just think like those choices you can write around them, because Odina isn't the focus of the game, and
right.
but 3 will, like, I don't understand how 3 can't hinge.
They're not going to go back on, they're not going to change what your decision was. They're going to write around it either way.
I know, but I just think it doesn't matter.
It's they're just going to make it so that somehow this major choice of does humanity have Reaper technology? Yes or no. That should change everything, and they won't. They'll pick one and then they'll just like tweak something.
It'll change a boss fight or something.
Well, the bigger you diverge means the more things they have to program and create, that also that half their audience won't see.
Yeah.
That's why that is kind of wasteful from a budget standpoint.
I personally played through Mass Effect 2 and tried to kill every single one of my team members just to see. Mm-hmm. I want to test them and see, okay, what are you going to do when like everybody's dead, including Tali and Garrus, who are supposedly on your crew in Mass Effect 3.
Yeah. And now you have
they've confirmed in that Game Informer article, they said that if Tali or Garrus died, even though Garrus is confirmed playable in Mass Effect 3, that he will stay dead. He will not come back.
He's more curious, like, how will they handle, like, what characters will be in that slot, or will it just be empty? Or?
I think it's going to be empty.
So that means that those characters, we know right now that those characters can't play a super integral, crucial role to the main plot. They can have, you won't get some of their quests, but they'll be interchangeable with somebody else if they sacrifice themselves in a heroic moment or something.
They could just create an interchangeable character named Barris for Garrus.
Yes, he's
I guess they could do a Morinth thing where they're just replaced with
somebody pretending to be Garrus.
Garrus's brother, Torian.
He's just Garrus with a monocle on.
And that's why you can't have consequences in video games.
And a top hat that flies off comically when he's surprised.
There's a little mustache.
I say... number two, Henry.
Number two.
Speaking of consequences.
Jesus Christ. Wow. Number two, death.
Yeah.
Like Wookiees burning alive.
I liked the image to represent death in the article.
It's the one Wookiee that died in the
Ewok. Yeah,
who cares? They're supposed to be Wookiees.
Wookiees are way cooler than Ewoks.
Barely. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like the...
five times the size.
I feel like Revenge of the Sith's Wookiee planet kind of brought them down to the same level.
It made them fucking Ewoks. It was impossible. More clear than ever, you always meant that to be Ewoks, to be Wookiees in Jedi. Didn't have the money. It's too expensive. What if every suit was half the size? Oh.
Dwarves are probably cheaper to pay.
Yeah. You pay dwarves half as much.
Yes. So, what is the point of this entry?
Well, just that death isn't final.
That plays into the whole fucking sleep thing of Mass Effect. Your character gets shot to death. How many times? I just beat it on Insanity. Fucking Morden and Miranda, who are a great team and got me through that whole game because their combo powers, their powers overlap very well for that, specifically for Insanity. They got shot and killed 100 million times because the AI is garbage. And then because Miranda was, oh dear, he yelled at me, I die. And now because, a piece of rubble fell on you, I can't fix that, but you getting shot in the face 400 times is, yay.
I like that we've connected every entry to Mass Effect 2.
Oh, we can go back.
Seems like everybody was playing Mass Effect recently.
Henry, give me a non-Mass Effect example of death, not whatever, consequence.
You're an L.A. Noire
reference. No, not yet.
No.
Well, how about...
this game comes out. I mean, this podcast goes up when?
How about like in...
Tomorrow, Tuesday.
That's the day the game comes out.
Well, how about in GTA? Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, you die and then you just wake up at the hospital, or you're arrested after shooting thousands of people and then you are released immediately. Keep your stuff.
Well, he brings up spoiler, Red Dead Redemption.
You know, I didn't like that. What a poorly placed spoiler warning in that story, I gotta say. Yeah. You're reading about death. Well, while you're reading about death, know that there's some spoiler about Red Dead in this entry about death.
Yeah.
So
about main characters dying.
Yeah. I wonder what this is about.
And spoiled.
I think Red Dead...
that's the entry. It's as plain as can be.
Red Dead is spoiled. Red Dead, I think, did
dealt with death better than a lot of games do.
But it did. Like, that's a rare case of them, like, going, no, this happened, and here's the consequence. And
but
it
does
works.
Make a point is, like, how was this consequence different from the thousands of other times that I suffered the same consequence?
That's true.
Where you're those times weren't really canonical. You didn't die. You reloaded, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, I guess that's the case. Like, you died as a gameplay mechanic. You
or
didn't
you fall
die.
Through some glitch.
You didn't die story-wise. You died because of your inept game-playing
like
abilities.
When,
you didn't die in a cutscene.
Like in Portal 2, I just won't spoil anything that much for Carolyn. There's just that part where GLaDOS is like, oh, take my advice and go over here and escape here.
Mm-hmm.
And I, of course, had to go see that. But other people are like, well, Chell wouldn't do that. She wouldn't go over there, so I'm not going to do that because I'm role-playing. So they also just think, like, Henry said, like, I tried to die as little as possible because I wanted this to be like the real story where she doesn't die.
Exactly.
Right. And if she does die, that doesn't count. You just erase that part and you remember.
Well, I did die a couple times through just mistake.
But then, all the times they die come back to life. But yeah, so I guess in this case, it's, if you die in a cutscene, then it's real.
Mm-hmm. I would like to play more games with death and consequences where, like Heavy Rain, where you die and it's permanent. But it just had to be shorter games. Yeah, so I can replay them many times over, see all the various things.
And Heavy Rain even cheated at that. Like you really had to screw up in just a cut. Like there's a point where you get arrested as Ethan, and you'll be let go. Like the consequence should be you. Like once the cops have you, they're not letting you go when you're a suspected murderer. Like you can't. Yeah, that was a consequence that didn't matter to me.
Should be somewhere in between Heavy Rain and Dragon's Lair.
I remember reading about in the early days of Sierra that Ken Williams had made a remote controlled airplane game, and like he thought it was a huge innovation that it's like if you crash your plane, you crash the game.
Wow, <That's> horrible.
Everybody hated that.
You have to reload it?
Yeah.
It just goes back to your desktop, or was there no desktop?
You have to delete the EXE and download it again? I didn't download things.
Goes back to the C prompt?
You might have on Sierra Online.
Kick back out to DOS. Yeah. All right, number one. Henry, let's see it.
Number one. Number one.
Well, you should do a better job for number one.
Dang it, no, I'm trying to find it. I thought I would find it in time.
One.
Where is it at? Where is it at?
Dock radar.
There you go. Getting around places.
What?
Like after death and consequences, getting around places.
That's the number one.
No, it's a thing that does bother the fuck out of me. Just the idea of like invisible barriers, waist high walls, and like no, there's nothing beyond this, and we can't bother to look. And the artificial means by which they confine you. The one that bothered me the most in recent memory, other than just because who cares? They give you the galaxy. You feel like even though you're on a track that you've explored a lot, but I mean, Red Dead does a good job because it's like, well, there's a giant cliff wall or an ocean or something, so it's like, okay, I got it. But a thing that bothered me recently, and this is even a couple years ago, fucking buying a commando, and I've mentioned this before, but like the whole bit is swinging in the air and momentum and flying. But the idea is that, oh no, you're in a city that's been completely nuked and irradiated and everything outside of this very specific path is too lethal to survive. But you have like 2 seconds you can survive in it because it's like, no, turn around. But if I'm in midair swinging with a full extended bionic arm, like I'm dead before I hit the ground. Like it's you pass into the invisible purple zone and then... Hurt, dead. Like, I haven't even landed on the ground to have time to get out, and occasionally there's just no indication that that's the direction I should not go, as opposed to the other way, because everything looks busted and broken, and everything is buildings fucking laid out horizontally with shattered... God, what were the ads? It was like Axe body spray ads everywhere, Pepsi logos. Like, it all looks the fucking same. Do I go this way? Oh, Red Dead. And what the fuck? How am I supposed to know that? I'd rather you just put a dumbass wall there or a spirit barrier or something.
Or like, which game is it where it's like you go outside I think in Grawl it happens where you go outside the boundary and it's all of a sudden it's like the grid starts coming in. I'm like, whoa, we're losing your signal. You're going to die if you go too far away from us.
So Assassin's Creed does that too.
Yeah, that's right. Assassin's Creed starts like
oh,
the
you're
number.
Not supposed to go into this area yet. You'll be desynchronized if you don't come back immediately.
Your ancestor never looked in that direction. Stop
yes,
it.
We knew this. Your genes tell you every decision they ever made.
He didn't look in that direction until several years later.
I mean, that at least, the wandering off course, I can kind of buy as an arbitrary way, because it's like, well, you're synced into a specific time, but if you wanted to get on a boat and go visit America, he didn't do that, I guess. But like, Grawl, it's like, what, are they full of fucking nanites? That bad soldier, get back on the tube that we want you to shoot people in.
like Crisis's solution.
Was mm-hmm.
You wander too far out to sea and a shark eats you.
Ah. Oh, right.
I forgot about that.
He mentions a creepy mirror bit in John Carpenter's Prince of Darkness.
I don't remember that movie. Oh, but
if
that's,
only Chris was here.
I only saw that movie because it was a midnight movie at the Castor Theater, and it was horrible. Mike Grimm fell asleep next to me. So I don't know who's going to get that reference, well, but I admire Chris that he tried it.
Like, I don't think even Chris liked that movie. Like,
nobody likes that movie.
Chris did admit it was terrible.
I think he mentioned like the idea of looking into a black nothingness like the mirror in that movie.
Sure.
Isn't there a scene where somebody jumps out of a mirror in that movie?
Maybe.
I wasn't probably at that one.
Well, that's the fucking top seven.
Did we mention in JRPGs when the scale changes when you go to the overworld? Did that ever bug anybody?
The scale changes.
I was
like the music.
No, I didn't mind it because, I mean, the scale changes because I want to get around the overworld fast, but I still want to feel like it's a planet.
Yeah.
Because most Final Fantasy games, you're not just in an overworld, you're in a planet. You're saving the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm to scale with the world, it's like, I don't even want to pretend like I'm walking this distance. Mm-hmm. I don't mind me being an effectively 100-foot giant that takes, you know.
See, that's what Elder Scrolls did well. Like, you would walk literally 7 miles, like, for hours if you wanted to.
Yeah, you'd find nothing.
I remember that. Yeah, you'd find nothing and it'd be a pain in the butt, but it would be real. Like, it was
great. That's why God invented fast travel.
Yes. All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking Alien Noir. Michael hated it.
Oh, God.
And he better not spoil it at all.
And we're going to tell you how it all ends. It was all a dream. Yep. And it was also the butler, and it was also your partner.
Yep. Actually, Ellie blows up in the end, and it's just a metaphor for the discovery of the atomic bomb.
Well, it leads into Battle LA. That's the last chapter. So yes. That's up. Game deals, probably some news, and other bullshit. Stick around or fucking leave. I don't care.
Does anybody play video games here at all? Do you know the Call of Duty video games? Okay, people who don't know, their game's based on real wars, so like World War II and shit, which feels weird to me because real people died, and then I have to kill them all over again. So like, moral problem, boycott those games, you know? Then the new ones came out, and they're set in like Iraq and Afghanistan and stuff. Video games. Shit that's going on right now, even weirder. Boycott continues. But then I played it at a friend's house, and it's so fucking good. I was like, all right, I'll get it, you know? So I was going to go get it. I was going to get it. But then I found out one of the levels in the new Call of Duty is called Karachi, which is where I fucking grew up. That's weird for me. They're like, your hometown is now a battlefield. How many points can you get? But even with that, I was able to convince myself, you know? Like, I'd have an advantage over everybody. I could be like, hey, we can hide in there, guys. I used to rent movies at this place. Mr. Siddiqui will give us shelter. So I was going to get it. But then I found out, okay, the language you speak in Pakistan is Urdu. That's the name of the language you speak, Urdu. But all the street signs in Karachi in Call of Duty are in Arabic. Yeah, totally different language. And I know it doesn't seem like a big deal, but this game took 3 years to make. If you look at it, they get every detail perfect, like the graphics. You can see individual hair on people's heads. When they run, they sweat. When they run, their shoelaces bounce. All they had to do was Google Pakistan language. They were literally like, what language do you speak in Pakistan? I don't care. I can't get this guy's sideburns right.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Hey, does anybody want to listen to the rest of this motherfucking podcast?
Yeah!
Get your most closely kept personal file. Put it in the word doc with the password lock. Sock it deep in the raw with extraction precluded by the ludicrous length and the strength of a reputed lit dictionary attack proof string of characters. This imperative to thwart all the disparages of privacy. The NSA and homelessness. You better PGP the raw because so far they ain't impressed. You better take the PGP and print the hex of it out. Scan that into a TIFF. Then if you secret doubt for your data, scramble up the order of the pixels with a one-time pad that describes the fun time had by the thick soul boot-wearing stomper who danced to produce random claptrap. All the intervals in between which set in tandem with the stomps themselves begat a seed of math unguessable. Ain't no complaint about the cipher that's redressable. Best of all your secret, nothing extant could extract it. By 2025, a children speaking spell could crack it. You
can't. Oh my goodness, there's actually a second part to this.
Talk radar. Taste bad, but ridiculously filling.
Paul's ghost just keeps them coming, but he only keeps the same two things coming.
I'm sorry, he can't.
Talk radar, so small a baby.
Talk radar.
Taste bad.
Radar.
Talk radar. Taste bad. Talk radar.
Talk radar.
All right. No one's going to tell me to stop.
Keeps just, the same two things coming, and those two things are his dicks.
So Henry, what was that in the break we heard?
Well, it was this funny stand-up Kumail Nanjiani talking about his experience as a Pakistani guy playing Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
The Dute?
Yep.
Playing Dute? I heard Dute 3 was announced.
That's right. You want to jump into
that's
news?
That's from 2006.
Dute 3? I believe that's from Dute 3. Yep. Not Zelda 3. How do I get those confused?
I think you're referring to Moa 3, Modern Warfare.
It's the Dute. Well,
Dute 3.
It didn't become the Dude until Modern Warfare.
Did it?
Yes.
All right.
It was just Call of Duty before.
It was too serious. It was about World War II.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
now
yeah,
it's about Modern Warfare.
Now it's called...
The third one was about Canadians.
Now it's about elf bowling.
That's a good game.
I found that sound effect. If anyone remembers what that's fucking from?
Check in with Chris. So he's still stupid.
You want to actually talk about the news on that?
No, hang on. I got to get Chris.
You want me to tell you what Elf Bowling was from? I remember.
Women! It was from Elf Bowling.
I know why Chris has a recording of it, though.
Wasn't it one of the... What game was... What was the it top was, seven, wasn't it?
It was one of the worst reviewed games of all time.
Right. Sounded like he did pretty well. It sounded like, you know, eight or nine pins. Not quite a strike.
That game sounds like an 8 or 9.
Oh. I don't know who.
Oh my god!
No, Michael's busy. No, new
I've
releases.
Been
Let's.
Bits in my beard. Which happens when I trim it. It gets sharp.
So
sticks in my thumbs,
kind of,
and it's annoying.
When I trimmed my beard, once I got like a little piece in my under my skin, like a splinter. Has that happened?
Yes,
to you?
Yes, it happened. That's what I'm saying. That happens.
Oh,
whenever,
so like, when I told that to somebody, they said that's not physically possible. That can't happen.
No, it happens all the fucking time.
All right,
they never tell you that about owning a beard.
Owning one,
it's the price.
Where did you buy that? Can you send it back?
Maybe. I think I got it at Walmart.
How much did yours cost?
Like $17.99.
Jeez.
I got it with the free oil change.
New releases, you
beard humor is good.
So yeah, what came out this week, guys? I don't even know. What? Well, before we go to the obvious one, I would like to point out that very important Marvel Pinball Fantastic Four Edition is out this week.
Ooh, boy.
It is very important. And has no
starring Captain America.
Has no reviews because no one cares.
I like the Spider-Man board. I
had
that.
A code for that, and I finally just gave it away on Twitter because I've had it since December, and I'm like, I will never play this. So I gave it
Matt
away.
Matt
Keese
is a fan of that game.
I played it. For
I know it
seems
like a good game. I don't dislike pinball either. I fucking will never get a chance to sit down. And
but
play
I imagine
that.
The Fantastic Four-ness of it probably ruins it.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Fantastic Four. There's plenty of good stuff, but they're kind of like Superman in a way. It's really hard to justify an ongoing series for decades. They work very well in isolated stories or as supporting characters. Mm-hmm. To constantly have to one-up their dimension-hopping, microverse-saving antics is too much.
I don't know.
Please, Henry,
come into this.
Whenever a new writer comes on, it feels like it's... I disagree. Wait. I'm saying whenever a new writer comes on, it feels like a cycle where like,
yeah.
Now this is my Doctor Doom story. Yes. Now this is my Galactus story.
Yeah, everyone wants to hit the same two villains. And it's like, guys, there's so many good Galactus and Doom stories. What if there was a period where they didn't touch them for a while? Mm-hmm. And then when Doom came back, it was kind of unique. And now he's just been back for so long. I'm like, I got it. Doom's back. But Galactus, at some point, they just turned him into... He hasn't been a threat in like 10 years. Yeah. It's just like, how do you make someone look tough? Oh my God, he beat Galactus. Can you actually have Galactus like do something villainous? Except when he was in all the Annihilation Wave stuff. He actually seemed very imposing.
Galactus versus Juggernaut, who would win?
Oh, Galactus, Michael.
Galactus would just eat his soul.
Aren't they just both like, oh, you beat up this character to prove how tough you are, new guy?
Essentially, yes, but that's the scale difference is so large.
Oh,
that someone who beats up Juggernaut cannot beat up fucking Galactus.
So, like, the wimpy kids beat up Juggernaut, then.
Well, though, no.
What about Galactus versus a Reaper? A human Reaper.
Versus a human Reaper. Well, we don't know the full extent of a Reaper's power, but I would still have to say Galactus is going to stomp the shit
out of it. Galactus has faced eight planets ruled by AI before.
Yeah. I mean, Galactus is the sole...
Did you see how many Reapers were at the end of Mass Effect 2?
It would take... I mean, there's a lot of Reapers at the end of Mass Effect 2, but I still...
There's only one Galactus.
He is a cosmic being on the same tier as Eternity and...
Death.
Like, he's one of the constants. He represents balance, pretty much.
Well, he's kind of like a sentient black hole, right? I mean, he can swallow.
Not quite.
He converts stuff to energy and then he eats it.
Yeah.
More or less. But I mean...
In a sense, yeah.
Stuff goes in, doesn't come out.
It doesn't come out. He doesn't poop planets or anything.
What about who would win a fight between Garrus and Doctor Who?
Doctor Who doesn't fight, so... So Garrus would just be punching him.
He'd be like, I can't fight.
They'd just be friends.
But what if they met under hostile circumstances?
They wouldn't.
A misunderstanding.
It's a fight to the death. One of them has to die.
What if they met while Galactus was pooping?
Yes.
And Galactus saw them and were like, you saw! I must destroy you both!
Well, if you want to be serious about that, first of all, they never would fight because Garrus fights for justice and Doctor Who is on the side of justice. So Doctor is not a mercenary. So
what if Garrus
has no quarrel with him?
What if Garrus and Doctor Who were a male on male romance option in Mass Effect 3? Who would win in that sexual fight?
Well,
I believe the viewers would win.
And the thing is, even if Garrus accidentally, which he doesn't make mistakes, this would never happen.
He's missing half his face. So.
What if it was the second or third Doctor, like one of the less sexy ones? Would the audience still win?
Is this the fight now or the sex?
Even if he did, you know, get a shot in, obviously the Doctor can regenerate. So,
right.
And then by then he would have realized.
Also, Garrus will die of old age one day, and Doctor Who won't. I know,
I
one day
Doctor
he'll
Who
be
would
dead.
Be the top.
And that reminds me rather of Fallout.
Garrus could absorb the heart of the TARDIS. And
all this reminds me a lot of Fallout New Vegas Honest Hearts, which is out this week as well.
Oh, yeah, I should track that down. Yeah. Takes place in Utah.
Yeah.
You don't say.
Michael's played at Fallout New Vegas.
I have.
Tell me.
I enjoyed it quite a bit in spite of the horrible, horrible, crashy bugs. I haven't played it. I just know it takes place in this national park.
It's out today, and they still have a bug up their ass about not sending DLC review code. They're very intent on getting us review code for games. Like, no, put the review up as quickly as possible. But then it's like, can you get this major expansion? Can we have that a few days early to review it? No.
Probably because they know that you can only download it if you've already bought it, and they'd rather just everybody that bought it already be tricked into downloading it.
That's true, probably. A lot of people would just be like, I'll get to it, probably what, you know, $8, why would I bother? I don't know. But if it got good reviews, if they bothered to make DLC worth buying, and then you see it get good reviews, I'm much more inclined to go, because I love the 2008 Prince of Persia, but then when I saw that the DLC, which was actually going to bother finishing the fucking ending, still didn't finish the ending.
Not really.
And I'm like, then I'm not even going to bother. Like, it's word of mouth is going to get around, or a review. Like, you might as well let people finish their review, basically. Like, I already reviewed the game once, can I finish? And add this little punctuation mark of Honest Hearts is actually fun. Because I'm going to review it anyway.
It makes me sad that Prince of Persia story is never going to... We'll probably never see the end of it.
Like, probably not.
I don't really care about that Prince of Persia anymore.
You know what story will see the end of?
Mm-hmm.
Brink.
That came out.
That's the reaction I wanted. Let's talk about Elinor.
Wait, I thought one more game came out this week.
Really?
This week too. No, the Witcher 2.
Oh, yeah.
Comes out, which...
Supposed to be very good.
Yeah, I've heard...
supposed to be better than Elinor.
I don't know if I can give away the score, but yeah, it's our freelance reviewer for it really liked it.
Witcher 2. There's one review and it's a 95 right now.
It's doing pretty well. That's quite a week for releases.
We should probably say
oh,
whether...
Oh, fuck. You know what else comes out this week, guys? The Last Templar. The First Templar. First Templar.
I thought we talked about that last week.
It's a big difference.
Well, it's out tomorrow. It's out this week. So definitely start ignoring it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then L.A. Noire, Michael, please.
Yes.
So your review is posted now.
It is. And gave it a 9 out of 10.
And you were deliberating...
I was over
the 9 or the 10.
I was agonizing over the 9 or the 10 because I think it's really kind of a revolutionary game. There's really nothing else quite like it. It's kind of like what you get if you mash together GTA and like the Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney games. But like, you know, just a very crisp looking 3D rendition of that, kind of like, you know, it's like if they did the CSI games right, and then
right.
driving and shooting, but the focus is like mainly on the investigation and the interrogation.
I was surprised because all the mocap of the faces and stuff, which is obviously one of their big selling points, because you have to read their faces to tell are they lying or bluffing or whatever.
Although they maybe overplay how important that is, because it's like, with the exception of John Noble, who is a motherfucker and keeps like it just squints like crazy so you can't see if he's being shifty or not. Like, everybody in that game is pretty much like, if they're staring straight at you and occasionally blinking, they're probably telling the truth. But if they're being shifty or looking away or gulping noticeably,
I don't like that, like, simplification of that, because like that whole science has been completely debunked, that you can read someone's face and be like 100% it doesn't work. Like, if I want to be shifty, like if I'm trying, like that suggests, well, if I want to get them to think I'm telling the truth, I just maintain eye contact, don't break contact. I did not kill that woman. Like, that's not like, but then like if someone's nervous, they can equally be nervous because they're on the spot and they're afraid of being accused of something, and they're afraid of what they say will dig them a deeper hole.
It's one of those things where, it's not 100% realistic.
I know. It's not the game's fault.
Science hadn't disproved that in the 1940s Los Angeles.
You're correct. People hadn't evolved to that point
yet. Well, in some of the clips I saw,
I thought the world was still black and white in the 40s.
That's true. That's what Calvin's dad told me.
Yes.
In some of the clips I saw, there was like, it was kind of almost like stagey acting, like acting to the back of the room.
It's a little
bit.
Well,
the thing is, they might as well just have like sweat drops go flying off their
anime vein in their forehead.
Yeah. The thing is, like, even when it's obvious that they're hiding something, the fun is like, it's like, do you hit doubt, which is kind of like, you know, pressing and saying like, I think you're telling me a half truth or hiding something, or do you outright accuse them of lying? In which case you have to actually confront them with some piece of evidence that you've collected.
Objection.
Some clue. Yeah, basically.
Take that.
It's like that. The exception that, like, in when you do that in Phoenix Wright, you lose a point or whatever, and if you lose them all, you lose the case. This time, if you get, you know, you wrongly accuse somebody, then, like, that question is just crossed off and you got it wrong.
Huh.
And then it's possible to, like, go through cases and get all the questions wrong, in which case there'll be, like, some sort of contrived thing, like, oh, maybe you should go back and look for this evidence, or somebody will walk in like, I saw that guy do that thing. But it's set up so that you will always succeed even when you don't, or you'll always progress even when you don't succeed.
But you were saying how it's a game that very much lends itself to replayability.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you can flub a case and it can turn out quite differently. Or?
Well, it's not so much, I mean, it can turn out differently, but it's mainly that if you flub too many things, you will miss out on a part of the story. It's maybe not a vital part of the story, but it, like, I went through and played through a second time, and like certain things that I thought were like, wow, that was really abrupt. That kind of came out of nowhere the first time around. It's like, oh, okay, now that makes sense. Because I missed this other bit, like where there's a case early on where this guy kills this other guy, and it turns out that it's because the guy who was killed was an anti-Semite and the guy who killed him was Jewish. And so the first time I played it, I messed up a bit of questioning, so I didn't find that out. So when I just sit down to question him, he's like, oh, you fasting for Yom Kippur, sir? I'm like, where the fuck did that come from? Yeah, it's a little shaky in places, but it's just a really fun game overall.
Did you find yourself wanting to skip the driving or combat at some point?
Because
you can.
Yeah, you can do that. Well, the driving, you know, I skipped it all the time, number one, because I'm a terrible fucking driver in those games. And
One of the things is it rates you on a variety of things, like the number of clues you find, the number of questions you get right, and also how much damage you cause. So if you're careening around, constantly smashing into cars, tearing off lampposts, blowing over park benches, which I was doing all the time, then it's like you rack up thousands of dollars in damages, and that docks you serious points, and it's even worse if you hit somebody. People rarely get injured, but it's like if you hit them, there's always a little warning saying, like, you know, this is going to severely impact your performance rating.
Speaking of consequences, not mattering.
Yeah. But Rockstar,
what if I ran over like four people in a row?
Well, they're very good at getting out of the way. I'll say that.
But if I'm trying real hard?
Yeah, I have run over people, and then they just kind of lie there.
But they never like send the cops to be like, turn in your badge, turn in your meal.
No, it's one of those things. Like I tested it out to see, like, okay, one of the things about this is you can only pull your gun when the game says you can. Like when someone else is shooting at you, then you will automatically pull your gun and you'll be able to fight. I just like arbitrarily shot a civilian, and like you can't shoot your partner for whatever reason, but you can shoot civilians, and then it's just like, you know, mission failed, civilian injured. And it just sends you back to the last checkpoint.
Can you shoot your partner when he's revealed as the villain?
No.
At the end of the game?
Yes, when all of your partners reveal themselves as all of the killers of each other.
Yes.
Each partner kills.
Yeah, they all killed each other. And then the twist is that you killed the last one at the beginning.
Uh-huh. Yeah, can you shoot yourself when it turns out that you killed everybody in the game?
Ooh.
And then left clues for yourself.
Possibly. So, Michael, I'm reading the reviews here. Uh-huh. And, the IGN review, an 8.5, L.A. Noire may not reach the emotional heights of a game like Heavy Rain, but...
Oh, fuck you, pal.
But it's something everyone must try out. I mean, it's a positive review, but I just wonder how you felt as someone who reviewed both Heavy Rain and this. They're both going for a similar thing.
I know some of our listeners love Heavy Rain, but like, really? You think that's an emotional height, fucking Heavy Rain? Fucking, I'm the origami killer.
Yeah.
but he tried so hard.
Well, yeah. I've been on record on this podcast as saying, like, there were like three times when I played Heavy Rain that actually did make me feel something emotionally.
Buyer's remorse.
I was invested with the characters enough to actually feel I don't want to be a killer. I don't want it. This decision is tough.
Yeah, that's true. But there's also, you know, I think it did Fear pretty well, at least at the beginning.
And then there were other times where I was just like, this is ridiculous. Like, weren't you the one that... Oh, yeah, you pointed out in your review that, like, what drove me crazy in Heavy Rain was the cops don't act like cops at all. Like, not even 1940 cops. They just decide, we have enough... We heard a story that this guy could be the killer.
We went and beat up his therapist, and he said... Yes, he left this origami figure here. And they're like, oh, he's the origami killer.
Take it to the news.
He was in possession of origami.
Well, it was the same. I felt a similar thing in Heavy Rain where, like, the Boston agent, whatever his dumb name was, he fights the origami killer, and the origami killer gets away, but like he got away like 4 minutes ago at best. He could just call in the cops and cordon off the area. You could at least like try, but he doesn't do anything.
A big guy in a trench coat and a floppy hat just ran away. Somebody find
just
him.
Just seen here. This guy we're looking for. This killer.
Yeah. Never thinks to call for backup. No.
Never.
But you were saying in L.A. Noire, they also... What's a warrant?
Yeah, there is some suspension of disbelief there, and that they're... I wouldn't say they're bad cops, but they are like... There's a couple scenes where, like, I'm just going to have a look around, and then one of the characters is like, don't you need a warrant for that? And, like... Your partner will just kind of lean in. I was like, why do we need one?
Sit on it, mister.
Well, is this pre...
Shut up. Yeah, just shut it.
Is this pre-Miranda? Do they Mirandize
people?
Well,
it's 1947, so maybe. I don't know when the history of
Michael, you don't know something?
No, I don't know something.
I'm taking that one. I'm taking it back. Hang on.
Fine.
Hang on. I got to get it to the end. You know what? Forget it. This is...
Thank you.
I forget. Fuck
yeah, I get to keep
you,
it.
You keep it, but I'm going to throw up.
Right. One of the captains is always like implying that he beats up suspects while they're in custody, and you know, you routinely see like people get punched while they're in jail cell, like your partner just shoves the guy in there and just like socks him across the face.
I don't know,
for no reason.
That's believable.
Yeah.
I've seen tons of fiction that takes place in that time period, and
cops would just rough them up a little.
Like, yeah, well, it's believable, but it's like, you know, if you're going to be nitpicky and say, oh, the police would never do this, this would be illegal, this would get a case dismissed, then it's like, okay, but it's believable.
Well, maybe in these days when liberal judges handcuff our cops from getting the bad guys.
Yeah. But, I mean, opposed to something like Heavy Rain where it's like you have no idea even what a police procedural is.
You don't know.
You've never watched a cop show.
You don't know what a police station looks like.
Or an American home.
You don't know how the chain of command would work if an FBI agent came to work a case.
But what eventually like broke it, took it from your 10 to the 9? What were the things that you were like, this is, you know, this makes it a 9 and not a 10?
It's just,
which still makes it exceptional. But
part of it, admittedly, is a gut feeling. I think for a 10, you have to be like super enthused about a game and just like, this is really fantastic. This is the absolute best.
Like the first Assassin's Creed.
Okay, yeah, all right. Thank you.
Below the belt.
Yeah, a little bit. But Alien Noir never quite reached that point for me, and for several other people, obviously. Yeah. But just kind of has certain little annoyances, like...
I believe the UK would call them niggles.
Niggles, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not racist.
Careful with that one. It's hot.
There's no force feedback when you're shot, which is odd.
It is weird. I saw that in your review. Like, there's no rumble at all.
It's no. There's rumble with everything else, but for whatever reason, like, I'm being shot. Oh, the screen's just turning gray. I guess I'm being shot. Huh. I should duck behind something.
Huh.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, you know, again, this is kind of arbitrary, but there's a few too many of those tailing missions where it's like, just follow this suspect as they move slowly and maintain a discreet distance.
Well, like those are in GTA even.
Yeah, but GTA has gotten it down to like there's one or two of those per game, and this is like four.
I'm guessing
or
there's
five.
Like a whole desk you work that are nothing but those or something.
No, it's not that bad.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, the graphics are a little bit choppy in places. Like, there's a... Rockstar said they were doing a day one patch that should fix a lot of the graphical issues, but it'll be interesting to see. Like, there's an area in, I think, the third traffic case where you're kind of just walking around on this hill where this car has crashed, and for whatever reason, on both versions, it was, like, consistently choppy just with the background. It would go, like, it was kind of strange.
Oh, yeah. Anything between PS3 and 360 version? Because I bought the PS3 one, because fuck you, I'm not changing those discs.
Yeah, it's really, aside from the disc changing and the PS3 gets an extra case, I mean, I'd say that's pretty obvious. Well, like, if you're on the fence, go for the PS3 version.
What is, like, the finger-eating virus?
It's a traffic case called the console's car.
It's the worst-sounding, dumbest, boring names, like console's traffic car case.
Well, also, like, the console, as in PS3 car, gets this case. Yeah. The console one. PS3. His name is Philip Seymour, and the third. And he has a car, and that's it, guys. The mystery was, you are suckers.
The disc changing is good, though, if you're a couple who both want to play the same game.
I didn't.
I never thought about that.
Yeah,
I never even considered such a thing.
I forgot I was considering that. And for some reason, I ended up getting the PS3 one anyway.
I know.
Also, the disc swapping is good because it gets you off the couch and sitting is killing you.
Sitting is killing you. That's just why Friday I walked to several bars to say goodbye to Andy.
And that's why you should always get the 360 copy of every game.
And then we also walked all over Beta Breakers, like walked all the way to your fucking house, basically.
Yeah, an extra few blocks.
Oh my god, I can't even imagine.
But don't give people hints where he lives.
I will saw. Yeah. I will say
Detroit, Michigan.
The 360 version is not that big a deal to swap out the discs.
Yeah,
like,
I did it.
If you're just playing straight through the story, which takes about 20 hours or so, you only have to get up twice to swap out the disc, and then if you want to go back and play older cases, then you'll have to pop in the other disc again.
Yeah, that doesn't deter. It's not like I'm like, fuck you, old disc. It's just more of a statement about the medium of DVDs that I'm like, can we please just move?
I mean, what's the 360 supposed to do?
I know, it's not their fault.
They
I'm not like
make that. Like one of those cool 5 disc changers, like
put it in my trunk. Awesome. Yeah.
I think maybe people are worried because they hear disc changing and they think like, oh, so if I go to this other area, it's like, oh, please put in the other disc.
Yeah,
it's not like that.
No, I know
the entire city's on every disc.
Yeah. Like in Mass Effect 2.
Yeah,
I was worried that since you're going around the galaxy, you'd have to like. Anytime you went to a certain section of the galaxy, you'd have to switch discs, but somehow they made it so that
the campaign
was split up. You only had to put the disc back in once you, like, now time for the suicide mission.
Yeah, there's just, I don't know, there's just something about, like, DVD is, like, from 97, and widespread 98-99. Like, that's fucking old. Like, a DVD is at most 8 gigs. Did they... I know it was 4 before, but you can do dual layer, so they're 8 now.
I think it's 8. Most.
Something now. My fucking thumb drive for $30 has 16 megs. Gigs. 16 megs, man. I can fit 3 songs on there. Do you know how much time I saved? No, 16 gig. That, and I bought that a year and a half ago. I don't even know how big thumb drives are now. Is there a 64 gig drive that's like, you know, $30 by now? Like, the idea of a disc, like, holding that much gain, like,
well,
it's not Xbox's, Microsoft's fault. Like, that's just the medium that was provided. They didn't, but Sony did invent Blu-ray.
It does. Well,
invented, you know.
It makes you wonder, whatever. Like, what they're going to do with the Nintendo.
Yeah, I do wonder. We were talking about that the other day.
And I do wonder if Nintendo's new system will go DVD, because I feel like that's hit a wall. It's it's a ridiculous medium to put games on in the 21st century.
But their only other choice is Sony
is Blu-ray, which they won't. And they'll probably go Nintendo's route, which is proprietary bullshit.
Yeah.
But then we started talking, like, how it's not insane to go cartridges. Not necessarily cartridges, but some kind of solid state.
Yeah, some sort of flash. Because thing. if you can have, like, a... like 32 gigabyte flash chip,
yeah,
and it's relatively inexpensive to produce,
yeah,
then it's like you could fit a you know, game on there that's comparable to what Sony can do on PS3, and it's instant loading,
yeah, and you don't have to go through a very lengthy install, like, yeah. Well, how is the Alienware install on the PS3?
A few minutes. It's kind
of
short.
I suppose the problem with those kinds of solid state things would be, though, there is probably an associated manufacturing cost, because that was part of the problem with cartridges. Nintendo is the third parties have to buy X number of cartridges from Nintendo, who owned the rights to those cartridges.
True.
Those cartridges cost, I don't know, it was like $10 or $20 at one point. It was quoted as every one of those carts starts at $10. And then the price of the game has to be factored in, whereas a CD for PlayStation era costs like $1, and a DVD costs like $2. So they can make those very cheap. But so if you were going to have a solid state drive, so if a blank solid state drive that's 32 gigs costs $20, it just starts at 20, and then the game has to go on there.
I don't think it'll be that much these days. I think
maybe not.
I think they could get it down to like.
But that's why that's why I'm pro.
I want there to be more discs, because I remember enjoying having like. When I got a game that had, like, whoa, 7 or 8 or 10 discs, I felt like, man, this is a lot of games.
Yeah, I love flipping laser discs, too.
I love sitting at the computer so I could just go disc open, stick it in, disc close.
Man, I hope they go back to floppies.
Computer, disc open.
Yeah, floppies. Yes. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, Xbox.
Several thousand of those fuckers.
Xbox open. Xbox, kill yourself. That's anything else, Michael? Nice. Eleanor?
It's pretty great.
It's got a couple of hundreds. Perfect scores from One Up Giant Bomb, TVG, and then VG, and then G. I'm not going to tell you what any of those abbreviations are for. Okay. Figure it out.
But yeah,
the lowest is an 8 right now. So lowest is an 8. So I mean, it starts at pretty good and goes higher.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely going to play it.
Fantastic.
This happened with Red Dead, though, where it comes out like 2 weeks before E3, and then I'm always on a vacation before E3. Mm-hmm. So then I always end up starting a long Rockstar game before E3, and then go to E3 and do nothing but play games that aren't out yet and get really excited about what's coming, and then come home and be like, this game again.
This is old news.
I already thought about playing this and bought it.
Yeah. I've completed the mental process, which was I own it. Now I need to move on. I did just start playing Outland, though, and if you like 2D fucking games, Outland is really pretty and it's good shit. Chris mentioned it in the podcast a few weeks ago, but I finally just got around. So, Henry, tell me about the news that happened.
Okay. I will, and then I'll also end with a funny story about Paul Ryan.
Oh, Paul Ryan.
Oh, man. We skip to that.
Well, so the first topic in the news was that Modern Warfare 3, all the information about it got leaked to Kotaku, and everything, every map, every multiplayer thing, every story point in the single player, like... It seemed like everything that was in the game.
Do we still not know who leaked that information, or will that forever remain a secret?
I bet it will forever be secret.
But then Activision late Friday was like,
it was annoying. I was at home trying to enjoy the Smallville series finale.
Trying.
And then it was tough. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't enjoy it.
Thank you, Activision, for distracting me from this terrible finale.
Well, so then I saw our old pal, One of Swords, Dan Amrick, tweet like, all right, it's official. Here's four trailers, and they're teaser trailers that don't show actual gameplay. It's like all green, and it's like in America, and it's a big shootout happening on the streets of New York. And then
in America, car drives you.
You mean Amthrica?
Yeah, it all takes place in places that
an E could be replaced with a 3. America, Germany,
I wonder
France,
if there's any locations they're like, we can't
Manhattan.
Do that.
Manhattan. Yeah, I know. It's like, wait, can we do this in Manhattan? No.
Like, we want to do something in China? Don't you dare.
Don't you dare.
So, yeah, it's official now. We all knew it was coming. And though it was kind of strange. The comments on the story when I posted the news of it being confirmed, like, I'd say a good 70% of the comments were like, God, I'm so bored with this. Dude, this sucks.
I know, but
you're all going to buy it.
It's so strange to have this sentiment be so angry towards it, which I understand because it's annualized and there's a lot of specific hate directed at Modern Warfare and the way that all shook out. But, like, it's going to sell like 18 million copies. And the odds that are most of you who are deriding it are going to buy it. Like, not all of you. Some of you may stick to your guns.
Well, some did say, like, I'm not going to play this. I'm going to get Battlefield.
No, that's like, cool, Battlefield too. Like, I'm very glad. Like, I want some fucking competition, dude.
Yeah, if you for multiplayer, but I bet Modern Warfare is gonna have a better campaign.
It might. I don't know. Dice is good at campaigns too.
I've never heard anybody talking lovingly about a Battlefield campaign.
Yeah. Mirror's Edge was a good campaign.
It was. I fucking love
Battlefield Mirror's Edge.
I hope they give a surprise announcement for 2. I would really be happy.
Never
for
gonna
that.
Happen. I think I read a story.
I know you read a lot of stories.
Another piece of news: Gotham City Imposters got announced today.
Imposters with a Z?
No, the Z's on the Jokers, which is straight from Batman
bats.
Beyond.
And bats,
the
bats.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why would
Batman Beyond?
Why would you want to play as Batman or one of his rogues when you could be a guy of your own creation that fights in a team of vigilantes inspired by Batman?
You can do that already in fucking DC Universe Online, which is back online now.
But it's not a first-person shooter, which this is.
From Monolith.
Made by Monolith, creators of Fear and Condemned.
So strange.
It's really weird. I think I already...
It sounds like a game that came out of a meeting. Like, we need another Batman game to fill a hole. How about a Batman FPS? Two things that are really popular.
Yeah, well, one of the commenters had a good point that maybe this was like Rocksteady did not want multiplayer in Arkham City. And so then they're like, fine, we got to have some multiplayer bat something. And so
you don't have to, but
Warner Bros. I know. Well, no one told you. No one said you had to, guys.
A spreadsheet says they do. And last in the news was Nintendo announced the release date for the 3DS eShop, which is June 6th. Bit later than they said they would. They said late May, and now it's the day before their E3 press conference, so they can probably brag about it at that. So
yeah, they'll bring. Now it's live with X Games, but there's a possible Excitebike is a free thing.
It sounds
you'll
like
get Excitebike free, but then they also mentioned there was that story. Was that Andrew saying or
mentioned
that Legend of Zelda 1, a 3D conversion of it,
mm-hmm.
which I'm trying to think what like. It's all on a grid, pretty much, so, like, you know, like, running around the overworld, like, are the trees gonna pop out? Or is Link popping out? Or, like, the boomerang pop? Like, what the fuck is
this? You figure, like, a Mario game or, like, Mega Man would have been a better fit.
Yeah, it'll be really strange, but,
But, yeah.
We'll find out in, like, 2 weeks, so.
Yep, and it'll come with DSiWare, 3DSiWare, with launching with Mega Man Legends 3, all that stuff.
So. Is it a demo or is it Legends 3?
It's a paid demo. It's called, I don't know, it's like first attract. It is a demo and it isn't. Like,
right.
It is a full game with a story. Well, not full, but a downloadable game that they're charging for. And then we'll also have a beta testing area in it. So
that seems like so many weird things. Like,
it's a strange. I'm
how about
surprised.
A paid demo of Mega Man Legends 3 with a beta?
A testing area, and then you'll tell them what you like and don't like about.
I don't like paying for.
It's
betas.
Such a weird project, but I'm surprised they didn't just cancel it when Inafune left.
It is
strange. Mega Man's creator.
I'm guessing they got a lot of positive reaction when they said we're bringing Mega Man Legends back, and a bunch of people got really excited.
Well, we'll see if people vote with their wallets.
Speaking of money, Henry.
Oh wait, no, I had
God
a story about
it.
Paul Ryan. Real quick.
Tell me. Guys, sound effect.
Talk radio.
Tell me about Paul.
This is just funny. This morning I read a political tweet about a congressman named Paul Ryan, and it was the tweet from CNN was like, Paul Ryan won't back down. And I tweeted that at Paul, and he said, it's true. I never do.
Yeah, I'm waiting for a great gold mine of audio from CNN or Fox to just talk about this Paul Ryan.
Paul Ryan in the news again today.
Yeah, I don't support Paul Ryan politically, but I wish he would win the presidency someday just so we can have President Paul Ryan. After I'm dead.
Okay.
Carolyn has raised her hand.
Can I mention something too?
Yes.
The Pokemon Regionals this weekend, because I won't get a chance to mention it on Pokemon Monday.
Yes. This Saturday in San Jose.
So I'm going to the one in San Jose on Saturday, May 21st. So if you see me, please say hi.
AKA Doomsday.
Doomsday.
Also, Kylie Minogue.
Oh, no, it's this Saturday.
Kylie Minogue. Yeah. Kylie Minogue scheduled a performance in San Francisco.
She is the Antichrist.
Well, do you see those guys, like, lost their nerve and said, like, well, it's going to happen from now until October 26th.
So what?
A thing will happen on the 21st, but it's not the rapture. It's going to keep going till October.
So they can interpret anything that happens on the 21st. Like,
a baby was born. That's Jesus.
Well, you know, one of the signs of the apocalypse is a rise in vegetarianism, and I did hear that Charlie ate a veggie burger.
A portobello mushroom burger.
No, you had one at Green Burger, didn't you?
I did not.
You didn't? I thought you did. Who did?
I recommended it. I did take a bite of cherries.
Oh, okay, never mind. Apocalypse
averted.
Canceled.
Apocalypse canceled, which saves you money somehow.
Take my advice, do as I say.
What?
Save a little money for a rainy day.
What are you belching? Ellie Noir deals already.
We haven't talked about that yet.
Ellie Noir. Oh, fuck. Michael, you reviewed Ellie Noir this week.
I did, yes.
I know you're deliberating between a 9 or a 10.
No, it was terrible.
So you gave it a 2.
Yes.
Okay. And it's probably because of all the just racial insensitivity.
It's actually because Rockstar didn't give me enough money.
That goes without saying. And just historical inaccuracies, too. Mm-hmm. America was not founded on the moon.
No, it wasn't founded on the moon. And L.A. was not run by monkeys. The Hollywood sign did not say Bollywood Land.
I heard it didn't even take place in L.A.
It took place
in Burbank.
Doesn't. It does.
The whole game, Burbank Noir.
It's starring Jay Leno.
Yeah, which I don't think he was alive, but
no. But he's playing Aaron Staten, and
he plays all the roles. His face is used for every character.
Exactly.
But if for some reason you want to play this garbage, Best Buy, Toys R Us, Amazon are all offering $15 gift cards for your purchase of it. And Amazon, I know, was for pre-orders, but Henry, you said they typically honor that the first week.
Yeah, for a while.
Usually. Yeah. So check that out. Best Buy, TRU, Amazon, $15 gift card. But apparently a better deal is if Kmart is not giving up the ghost where you live, you get a $20 coupon and free $19.99 or under game with it.
Wow.
So $20 coupon.
That's a pretty good
deal.
That's
like $40 back in your pocket.
Back in your pocket. Moving my hand very quickly.
Are there any good $20 games, though?
That's the sound of money. Ellen Moore, you can play your cards right. I mean, you're going to knock a good chunk of change off of that. Mm-hmm. Kmart Gamer, again, fucking when did they come back? Check out Kmart Gamer, the actual site, I'm guessing, through this Saturday, The Rapture. Witcher 2, get a $15 coupon. Tomb Raider Trilogy is $30. Dragon Age 2 for PS and 360 will be $40. Dragon Age 2 on PC is $44.99. And Shift 2 Unleashed is $40.
I forgot that game came out.
I know. Shift 2 Unleashed, man. GameStop.com online only. Buy 2 pre-owned games, get 1 free through May 23rd. Promo code May2G1. Anybody going to buy used games online that you can't see and they may be covered in syrup or ants when you get them? Yeah. Or dogs that shoot bees at you?
Yeah. Might have been handled by with a 2-year-old who shoved both his hands up his ass.
Then directly into the Xbox tray. Mm-hmm. Baby Butts 360. Nintendo Selects are showing. Should be showing up in stores now. So those are the $20 versions of Twilight Princess, Animal Crossing, City Folk, which sucks, Wii Sports, and Mario Super Sluggers, which somehow you guys managed to make popular despite itself.
I think they put Mario on the box.
So if somehow you don't have... Also, the Wii's $150 now.
$150,
So if you somehow don't have a Wii...
Yes, on the eve of Nintendo announcing a newer and probably better system...
It's gotta be.
Please go buy a Wii for $150 and then finally play Twilight Princess. And then like a sucker, now have to pay for Wii Sports. But you get Mario Kart now
when you buy it.
Which is also bad.
Yeah.
So,
Or you could buy a Wii to play the GameCube version of Twilight Princess.
You could. That would also be acceptable.
Far better.
I would actually prefer... The problem with the GameCube version is that it's not widescreen. which in 06 was already weird, but in 2011 is like, what the fuck, guy? And it doubly doesn't make sense because lots of GameCube games ran in widescreen, but for some reason they literally did not build it into Twilight Princess for GameCube, but it is widescreen on Wii. It's just, it bothers the shit out of me. And then they also flipped it so that the Wii one Link is right-handed and the whole...
Yeah, I was gonna say, the widescreen thing is a small price to pay if you're an actual left-handed person.
Yeah, I mean, Link is left-handed as he's, as Miyamoto intended.
Yeah.
And then Skyward Sword, that's what bothers me the most, is that Skyward Sword and Twilight Princess, Link will be right-handed in both of them. And then the next system, they will go right back to him being left-handed. And it's like, do you not see this is kind of ridiculous? And I know it doesn't really matter because the game is more important than this thing, but it's just strange that you would bother to distinguish the character in such a way that, no, he is left-handed. See, there's like seven games before this where he's left-handed. It's a thing about the character. It's fun because Miyamoto's left-handed and blah, blah, blah. Except for those two, because we made a system that most people are right-handed and they want to waggle swords. It'd be weird, man, right? It'd be weird. Yeah. Oh, it's better to make them comfortable.
I honestly never noticed until Twilight Princess when it was like a news story that he changed hands.
I'm pretty sure the Antichrist is supposed to be left-handed.
Speaking of Antichrist.
I will know on the 21st.
That's the first thing I'll look for.
Speaking of Doomsday averted, PSN is finally back up, and you can read all the various tales of that, where you go download an update, a firmware update. I love that it kicked off with a firmware update.
I love that the PSN being down didn't affect me whatsoever.
I was pissed for 2 days because I couldn't get on Hulu, and then
Hulu
the next day
Xbox.
It shows up on 360 and it works better. I've had no problem with
it. Yeah, the interface is like a million times better.
The interface is better, and like the PS3 when we would be watching it, like ads would skip or repeat. We had to watch the same ad twice.
Well, yeah, and the interface itself was just kind of confusing. I'm like when you want to stop a video, it's like, how the fuck do I stop? Like, I feel so dumb. Like, I can't figure out. Like,
yeah, the 360 one just mirrors the layout.
I figured it out, by the way. But
yeah,
still.
it's not intuitive. Like the button you think you press, it's like, and now you brought up a HUD, and I'm like, okay, I wanted to bring up a HUD, but it's the wrong HUD. Or then I'll push square, and it minimizes the window, and the video's still playing.
Exactly.
It's like, no, god damn it, just fucking function like a remote control. Anyway, PSN's back, guys.
Yay!
So
I can finally upload my trophies.
I can't wait to play SOCOM 4 tonight.
SOCOM 4, finally not dead a lot, ever. Dead on arrival.
Yeah.
But now Portal 2, Mortal Kombat,
Brink
now can all finally exist as intended. So that's cool. I'm glad for that. Because I wanted to play MK Online like the day it came out, and no!
And also, people were like wondering about the... is Ellie Noir going to be the same without online on PSN? And now it's there for a game that isn't online.
Yeah.
Except that you can use an intuition point to ask the community and see what other people have answered.
Oh, that's kind of neat.
That's
kind of interesting.
It's like Regis Philbin.
Yeah, that's
a
lifeline.
That's a cool thing that I didn't mention earlier, was that you can spend you gain intuition points for doing things right. And then if you're not sure, like whether somebody's lying or doubting,
you can call your friend.
You can spend an intuition point and you can either eliminate one of the answers and a lot of the evidence.
Wow, really is
or,
the lifelines.
Yeah, it's like Millionaire. Or you can ask the community, see what other people have answered.
It's the only one you can't do is call a friend.
Can I call my aunt?
And when you're investigating,
if
you're not sure where a clue is, you can reveal all the clues on the mini-map.
So at what point?
Which of these will make me lose out on achievements?
None of them.
Really?
When it gets to the ask the community point, does the character look at the camera and say, well, what do you think, guys?
Well, the online hadn't been turned on, so what do I know?
Oh, okay.
I just looked at your screen. That Napoleon Dynamite cartoon is real?
Yes.
Wait, it's real? I thought that was a joke.
I thought it was a fucking joke.
Somebody tweeted saying
Fox
it's
is
real.
Making it.
Mike Grimm said that to me, and I was like, oh, it's Mike Grimm. Ha ha.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was real.
No, I read it in an Onion story today, too.
No.
Fox is putting it in its Sunday lineup later this year.
Oh my god.
It looks vaguely like Mike Judge, but not
really.
But how could they? Why? It's like 7 years too late. Like, nobody thinks it's cool.
They should have done a Nacho Libre cartoon instead. That's
more
topical.
At this point, might as well.
They could have done a crossover. I would have watched that.
Oh, don't put it past them. When the ratings are waning, you'll have a Nacho Libre crossover.
Special guest star, Jack Black.
Yes. Guest stars on this. Ooh. And then, the news also that Seth MacFarlane has earned the rights to reboot the Flintstones.
I can't believe that shit.
For some reason, when I heard you guys talking about that, I thought you said Todd McFarlane, and I was like, that's stupid. That doesn't make any sense. I'm going to ignore it. But now it makes sense, but in a horrible way.
I would love to see Todd McFarlane do the Flintstones like he did Oz.
Everything's going to have...
Everybody's really like, Fred is just like some gigantic homunculus with like a tiny head.
Everybody gets... put tank treads on everyone and give everyone a cape, and now Todd McFarlane presents the Flintstones.
Can that be the Photoshop request? Todd McFarlane's like, Flintstones?
Wilma and Betty are like really over-sexualized.
Oh, yes.
But it just shows you like how unoriginal Seth MacFarlane is anyway. Like, he's just going to graft on the same template all his other shows have onto the Flintstones, and it's just going to be the same garbage. I read about a joke that was on Family Guy last night.
You read about a joke in a review.
No. You're already disqualified yourself.
No. Okay, did you watch Family Guy last night?
No.
All right, they have a joke in it.
But I will.
No, they have a joke in it where they cut away to the Rick Astley video for like 3 minutes straight.
See, that sounds hilarious.
The laziest thing ever. It's so fucking lazy.
No, I saw that.
It trades on an ancient meme.
Well, of course it's lazy if you're just hearing it like that, but if you're actually watching it and it's like, okay, yeah, that's... Oh, my God, they're still going.
No.
I agree with Henry. That's way too late.
Henry is an elitist.
No, and it trades on an ancient meme that's fucking played out like 3 years ago.
I agree with this, Kate, because there was some... I watched a random episode of I'm out of this to watch, and I've got a sandwich, so I'm going to watch something. I watched an episode of Family Guy, and it was like from the last season on Netflix, and it was like the epitome of everything that everyone is stereotypically wrong with that show, and one of the gags was them in a car, like within the first commercial break there were 3 licensed songs used, and the joke was that they were using the licensed song, and it's like, well, yeah, you have the money to do that, but what's the joke? The fact that I've heard Huey Lewis in the news before, is that the joke? And then there's another joke where, like, we should sing a song in the car. What is it? Licensed song. They sing the entire fucking song. And then when it's over, like one cut, and then when it's over, it's like, oh, that was fun. Good, next scene. What the fuck was the joke? Was it just them singing the song? Because that's not funny.
Yeah, exactly.
It really bothered me. Yeah. Whereas I watched one yesterday, and it was totally like, it was Stewie, Lee found out Leonardo da Vinci was his relative or something, and he goes, and it turns out Stewie created the universe. I don't know. It was a Stewie and Brian episode, so they're always going to be better because they actually bothered to characterize those two. Anyway, PSN is back up.
You can watch Family Guy. You can watch Family Guy on Hulu now.
All this is still in game deals.
Wait, there's more? There's more after this?
No, just this. It's the last one, I swear. PSN is back up, so their welcome back deal is on.
Oh, that's part of game deals. You'll get it now.
30 days of PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
Three days of night.
60 days of continued membership for current members. You'll get... You will get this. This is gonna bring him in. This is gonna coerce all you fucks to get on PSN. All
right.
You are now, if you choose to redeem these, proud owners of 100 free home items.
Oh,
ew. Which shows you how worthless they are. Have 100.
Actually, I would do that just to litter my stupid home apartment.
I've never seen them ever.
Where do you even go to home?
Do I have one?
Well, probably. Home's in the PlayStation Network section, like right next to
the store. I've never even noticed that. That's been through for over a year now.
I've never noticed it when I've accidentally clicked on it. I'm like, oh, I want to go to the store. Get out. No.
I actually have a bunch of this shit because a couple of years ago, for some reason, like they just, like, there's a bunch of BioShock items in the PSN store. Here, buy them and take a bunch of pictures so we can do a news story on it for some reason.
Oh my god. I mean, that's not uninteresting if they look nice, but I'm still never going to pay for them.
I have like a little or a big sister outfit from BioShock 2.
I hope
that
you
no one has ever seen that.
No one will ever see. It's literally like the world's oldest collection of Silver Age comics in some grandma's basement. Like, no one will ever know. And then the final bonus from your welcome back deal, which is better than the 100. Which is literally like, here's 100 pieces 100, of garbage.
100 more.
Is 100 more free items. No, it's your choice of 2 of these games.
Oh.
Little Big Planet.
Wow, really?
Just the game?
Infamous.
Huh. I already own that.
That's all the stuff they offer. Like, download the whole game.
Yeah. Dead Nation. Super Stardust HD.
Ooh.
Or Wipeout HD.
Pure? Or is
it says Wipeout HD plus Fury.
Yeah, Wipeout HD is pretty good.
Hey, you know, I actually think I will download two of those.
I mean, fucking free game. So if you got a PS3, basically giving you two free games.
I still won't play it.
Which is very generous of them, considering most of us aren't paying for PSN anyway. Like, unless you're a PlayStation Plus member. Yeah.
Well,
they're basically like, the service was down, but I was never paying for it. And if I'd bought, like, Brink or Portal 2 or MK, of course there should be some kind of, you know, they should do something because a service that's advertised as functional was not.
Beyond the service outage, though, it's just the inconvenience of our data being compromised.
Yeah. That's a huge
for with all the hundreds and thousands of dollars.
If it was just PSN had been down for several weeks, I wouldn't care as much. But it's like PSN went down and I had to get a new debit card had to change all my passwords.
Right, I know. But then, like, in that case, with your identity theft things going on, it's like that. There's no adequate solution.
Although,
like, two free games? Fuck your two free
Sony
games.
Sony
they owe me a new identity.
Offering a year of identity protection service.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's better.
Through, like, Identity Key or something. It was on the PlayStation blog, so go check that out if you're curious.
Sign up for that. And that is the best game deal of all, a fresh start.
But I just got an email that my
Will you wait for the fucking jingle to end? I have to start it over now. Are you cool with this?
Yes. My advice. Yep.
Save a little money for a rainy
day.
All right. joke is ruined.
I just got an email saying my LA Noir had shipped.
I got that as well.
I got to check for that right now.
All right. So that's the end of this fucking
thing. Guess what, guys? I got 4 copies.
Damn it. Damn it.
What?
I took one, but it's an office copy.
Well, maybe
I don't want to exchange ours.
Maybe
anyway.
Carolyn can borrow the 360 once she can start playing it.
Yeah, can I?
Okay, yeah, sure.
My LA Noir has shipped as well.
Yeah,
good news, everybody. We'll be back on Friday with more stuff. Chris maybe got his butt fixed. I think
had it removed.
I think if they remove it, they'll have to take skin from his nose and put it where his butt was, and then maybe have to graft ass hair. Like, from his head onto his new butt.
Our community is very supportive, so I'm sure somebody would be willing to donate their ass to Chris.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sounds like a Ren and Stimpy episode.
We need to buy him a new ass. We need a butt donor.
I think there's more than a few readers who would give their ass to Chris.
Henry,
probably. Maybe if two of them each gave half of their ass.
He's not talking about that kind of ass anymore.
I don't even know what to do with these sounds. I still have this sitting around.
Women!
All right, Michael, you mentioned a song was taking a set. You've got fuck... Oh, never mind. Never mind. Never mind. I was... This is how out of it I am. I was going to say, you've got fucking headphones on listening to... What are you listening to?
I'm listening to you, motherfucker.
Podcast headphones. I'll give one of those to me. And tell me to shut up. But you wanted to play it. You said an L.A. Noir song.
This is a song on L.A. Noir, and it comes up every so often on the radio, and it's like, this is a really fucking weird song, if you haven't heard it, but it's appropriate. It's Stone Cold Dead in the Market by Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Jordan. Performed by them.
Ella Fitzgerald.
Ella Fitzgerald.
President Ella Fitzgerald.
I wish I had the elephant sound.
It's close enough.
Yeah. It is an animal.
It's like there's an elephant in the room.
Oh. See you Friday.
Yes.
I like old dead in the market. She killed nobody but her husband.
There's one thing that I am sure. He ain't going to beat me no more. So I tell you that I doesn't care if I was to die in the electric chair. Man, he's stone cold dead in the market. Stone cold dead in the market. He's stone cold dead in the market. I kill nobody but my husband.
Hey, child, I'm coming back and bash you on your head one more time.
No, man, you can't do that. You stone cold dead in the market. Murder, stone cold dead in the market. The criminal is stone cold dead in the market.